During these 6 weeks of Lent, we are looking at different practices that we do together as a people of God. We're examining together why it is that we're called to gather, to pray, to give, to serve. And this morning we're exploring the question, why remember? Why is it important for us as the people of God to recall and recount the things that God has done for us in the past? Now, to say that it's important for us to remember is not the same thing as it's important for us to know our history. Our history is important. I love history. Just last week, I got to sit in on a Sunday school class that one of our members, Steph Fulbright, was teaching. And she was talking about the medieval church and the construction of cathedrals and what was the theology behind that and what people understood about God at the time and how all of that was reflected in the architecture of the day. And for me, that was more than just remembering historical facts. That stirred in me a desire to worship God more fully when I'm in this space, to appreciate more fully why our architecture is as it is. So it had an effect on my daily life and faith. So when I say it's important to remember, it's more than just knowing facts about our history. And to say it's important to remember does not mean it's important to be nostalgic. There's a difference between remembering and being nostalgic. Looking back to the good old days, and wishing things were like they had been. Oh, do you remember the days of Pastor so-and-so? It was so good back then. Well, we got this new pastor. Or do you remember when we used to sing these old hymns? I sure wish we could just go back to singing those old hymns and not this new way of doing things. Sometimes remembering our past can become nostalgia and can get us stuck in the past and unwilling to try new things and to worship God in new ways or live out the gospel in new ways. So the call to remember is not a call to be nostalgic. No, the call to remember is to find ways in our life together to name and recount and tell and proclaim the faithfulness of God with God's people, from the beginning until now. Because remembering and recounting those things helps us trust God tomorrow. So when we look at what it means to remember, we get a lot of help from this story in the book of Deuteronomy. When we find ourselves in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, we are at a pivotal moment in Israel's history. To remind us of where the story has been up to this point, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God raised up Moses as a prophet in the book of Exodus. And through the power of God, Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery. They were liberated by the power of God, and God brought them to the promised land. But as they stood on the border of the promised land, ready to enter, they got scared. They sent spies into the land, and some of the spies came back and said, oh, the people who live there are too big, they're too strong, and if we go into the promised land, they will destroy us. And so God said, you're not ready then. You do not trust me to fulfill my promise. And so now you have to wait a whole generation. And so the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they could enter the promised land. They got hungry, they got thirsty, they got lost, but God provided them food, God gave them water, God gave them guidance, God shaped them into the people God wanted them to be by giving them the law and the teachings. And now, here we are in the book of Deuteronomy, back at the border of the promised land, and they're about to cross over. And Moses takes this opportunity to give them a farewell speech. He's not going to be entering the promised land with them. So the book of Deuteronomy is written as if it is Moses' last word to the people. And what Moses says to the people before they enter the promised land, especially in chapters 6, 7, and 8, is, remember. Do not forget your God. You're about to enter the promised land. And when you get there, there are going to be people of all shapes and sizes. There are going to be all sorts of things that people worship that are not God. Hear, O Israel, says Moses, the Lord is our God. Yahweh is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Do not forget whose you are. You're about to enter the promised land, and you're going to plant crops, and they're going to be fruitful. You're going to build homes, and your houses and your families are going to multiply. Your herds are going to multiply. You're going to become prosperous and wealthy. And when you sit there in all your prosperity and wealth, do not forget who it is who brought you to this land. Never forget that you were slaves in Egypt and that God set you free, so that you may never treat anyone else like a slave or someone who is less than you. Remember, do not forget the Lord your God. And so the people of Israel found ways to remember. Moses had instructed them, take this word and put it on your forehead and put it on your doorposts. And many of our Jewish friends do just that. If you've ever seen a Hasidic or an Orthodox Jew, sometimes you'll see them wearing what's called a phylactery on their forehead. Especially at times of prayer, the men at times of prayer will put on these phylacteries. And inside the box is a little scroll that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. A daily reminder of who God is and whose they are. Or maybe you've been to the home of a Jewish family and you've seen posted on the door what's called a mezuzah. It's a little object that has within it a scroll. And written on the scroll is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. So that whether they're coming out of their homes or going into their homes, they touch the mezuzah and say, The Lord is God, the Lord is one. A daily reminder of to the one to whom they belong. So how do we remember on a daily basis the God who has brought us thus far, the one to whom we belong? Perhaps some of you, at the moment you take your first waking breath, say a prayer of thanks to God. Many of you, I know, read the upper room or have a daily devotional practice that keeps you grounded in the love of God at the beginning of the day. Many of you, I hope, say a word of prayer by yourself or with those in your household before you share a meal, as a way of saying God is the source of our prosperity. God is the source of our food and all that is good. During this season of Lent, I would invite you to explore some daily practices, some physical things, some small things that you can do to remember the Lord our God every day. Perhaps the most well-known, most powerful way that our Jewish brothers and sisters remember and recount the story of God is through the Passover meal. Once a year at Passover, they gather in their homes and they retell the story through the things that are on the table. They talk about the liberation from slavery and the presence of God with them in the wilderness. And now, of course, we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, have a meal that we share. As Methodists, we gather around this table once a month and we recount and we retell the story. One of the important pieces of this text in Deuteronomy is where Moses says, make sure you teach the children, tell your children the story. And so I want to invite our children who are here this morning to come and join Pastor Becky and me at the table for just a few moments where we can talk about this meal and what happens here. So you can be ready when we have communion in a few moments to be listening extra carefully to the story. You'll have to come all the way around the side, but we'd love for you just to come and gather around the table. You can just stand if you want to. One of the things I love about the Passover meal is there's a moment when one of the children who's present gets to stand up and ask, "Why is this night different from every other night?" And you children are really good at asking questions, really important questions, like, what makes this loaf of bread any different from other loaves of bread that we might eat at home? Or what makes the cup of juice that we have at communion any different from the cup of juice that we might drink at breakfast? When you ask questions like that, it gives us grown-ups a chance to tell you the story. Now, in a few minutes, Mrs. Becky and I are going to tell the whole story. And Pastor Becky's going to talk about some of the different things that God has done for God's people all through history. And then I'm going to talk about what Jesus did at the table that night with his disciples. And I want you to be listening really carefully because it helps us remember. And so when we pick up this piece of bread and tell the story, it becomes something really special because Jesus said it was his body. And we take his body and we become the body of Christ. And we're filled with his love too. So thank you for asking good questions. Keep asking good questions and help us to tell the story of God's love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the things you have done for us from the very beginning, for the way that you love us and show us your love. Most especially, we thank you for Jesus, and we will tell his story and how he gave his life for us. And when we take the bread and drink the juice, help us to remember how much you love us and all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. You can go back and sit with family and friends.